Everybody.
Hey, everybody. Cheryl, you're just all that.
We just think you're great.
Yeah.
Hi, Ann. Ann is here.
Hi, Ann.
Hi, Marge.
Hi, Marge.
Kathy. Hey, Ann. My phone must have started working again.
Text from Debbie Took.
Okay.
Want to read it or ignore it?
Read it over the radio. What's Debbie Took say?
Debbie Took says, heading back from Richmond, Virginia, but listening to you guys on the radio. Hey, Debbie.
Hey, Debbie.
There's Andy C.
Hey, Ann. Oh, she's blowing kisses.
Aw. Okay. So now we're here. All right. So we're going to start with a prayer. And Connie's going to do it because she's good at it. I just go, you know what I want, God.
Come on, give it to me.
Okay, sad but true. That's pretty much the way it goes. But, okay, Connie,
all
go
right.
ahead.
All right. Thank you, God. Thanks for this opportunity. I'm so grateful to be teaching what I need to learn, because as I teach it, it strengthens in me, and I'm really grateful. And also, I would like to say that I'd like to leave the world behind just for a moment and be totally and fully in this class tonight, hearing you, and sharing with my brother. Thank you, God.
Amen. How sweet. Really sweet. Thank you, Connie.
Thank you.
Okay. So, let's see. So, Connie tells me we are at Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 25, which is a Bible verse. Has a little icon saying we should read from the Bible. So, let me do that. Make sure I'm in the right place. Acts 8, verses 9 through 25, titled here, Simon the Sorcerer. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them.
That's what we just prayed.
That's right. That's right.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter.
That's what I want, Philip. I'll give you some money.
Peter. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God." Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages.
Okay. Who is that? Philip? Who is a sorcerer?
Simon.
Simon.
Simon was the sorcerer. Okay. So where am I? Okay. So NTI says, the process of learning seems to be a stepped process in which one man listens and learns, and then he teaches another so that he listens and learns too. This is how it seems to be. This is how it seems to be to you. But to the Holy Spirit, another thing is happening. I have told you that there is one Son of God, and I have told you that the Holy Spirit has one plan for one Son of God. This is how the Holy Spirit sees. He sees one.
Wow.
And this is what the Holy Spirit knows. There is one mind in need of awakening. So this is how the Holy Spirit works. He works through you to awaken one mind unto itself. When the Holy Spirit looks at the world, it does not see holy men and men of darkness. It does not see men at all. It does not see men who are right in what they do and men who are wrong. It does not see men at all. It is the ego who separates men from one another and judges them. It is the ego who sees men of one purpose and men of another. The Holy Spirit sees only one purpose, and all things that seem to be of the world serve the one purpose he sees. So I want to read that again. The Holy Spirit sees only one purpose, and all things that seem to be of the world serve the one purpose he sees. So when you look at this story, see only one thing. See the spreading of light within an awakening mind, and then you see with the Holy Spirit.
Well, you know, what's really cool about this is, I think this is my lesson right now. I've been thinking about this a lot, that, you know, Regina and Laurent having their quarrels or whatever, and the Holy Spirit coming to them and saying, you know, you got to realize that
you've got to quit seeing each other as persons.
As persons. So, and so, yeah, so that's really what I think is being said here, is we got to quit seeing ourselves as persons.
Yeah, you know, it's, and I think this is what, you know, Paul Hederman was talking about. I think this is what Course in Miracles is talking about when it talks about trying to solve the problem from within the problem. Because you start out with the presumption that we're separate. And, okay, now how can we get together? Well, you know, you're starting at the wrong starting point. If you're already, you've already assumed that that is true, that we're separate people trying to remember that we're one. And it's just... It's just not so. We are not separate. And so when A Course in Miracles talks about removing the blocks to love's awareness, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about removing all of these artificial limits that we would place in the flow of life, in the flow of love, which is what we are. So, you know, this flow is exactly what we are. And then we go, and then we grab onto this thing and we build a barrier, and we grab onto this other thing and we slap it down in front of us, right, metaphorically, and we build another barrier, and we build another barrier, and we build another barrier. And so we come to see ourselves as what is contained within those barriers.
Or the self-concepts.
Right, which is the same thing as a self-concept. When the truth is, we are the flow that's being stopped by these very barriers that we're building, as we attempt to identify ourselves.
Yeah, and the concepts and the barriers come up because that very reason you just said is because instead of just being, we've got to say, oh, that's who I am.
Yeah, we don't know how to just be.
We don't know how to just be.
Because we start with the wrong assumption. Because we start with the wrong. I don't know who I am, so let me pick out some things I really like here. I'm that. Instead of just what all the sages say, is just be still and feel the life force, feel the love force, feel that, and be in that field without the need to define anything.
And what's so bizarre is you know, and my brother's a perfect representation of this, but we seem to be so far from that because, I mean, I've got two people in my office right now that can barely communicate because they've made assumptions about the other one. I mean, they're not even dealing with their own self-concepts as they're dealing with the self-concept that they've projected on this other person, and they can't even have a conversation. It's like, you know, and I used to talk about my daughter and her mother doing that they, you know, that she would say something and she'd go, oh, Mom, you know, and you're not listening. You're falling back on whatever. There's no communication going on because you're falling back into concepts, and the same thing's going on in the office. These people, you know, every time she opens her mouth, she hears this, and every time she opens her mouth, she hears this, and there's it's just blocked exactly like you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's what A Course in Miracles is talking about when it says you make an ego for yourself, you gather all these concepts about yourself, and you make one for everybody else. And so you never, ever just dealing with each other, because if you were dealing with each other, you would be in that experience of that continuous flow. There would be no demarcation between you and the other guy. No lines, no boundaries.
Cool.
You'd just be one.
That's really cool. And, you know, we've all been there. We've all been in that space, which is a really, really sweet experience.
Bye, y'all.
Did we drop
it? I have no idea. Oh. Huh.
There you there. Are you there? Hello?
Hey,
Does the universe tell us to move on?
I don't know. So, my computer just did something weird. My phone's been doing weird stuff. Okay, good. Yay, they hear us.
All right.
Oh, I guess we better move on.
I guess we better move on. We're losing our audience. Literally.
All right. So, okay, verses 26 through 40. This is page 230 of NTI. When you see with the Holy Spirit, you also realize that you do not see, for you do not look on the world and see only one mind. You see men. Are tempted to make judgments about them. This is why you must not listen to your own way of seeing. You do not see the truth. You must listen to the Holy Spirit and trust its way, for it does see the truth and the sharing of one light within one mind. Be willing then to lay your sight aside and to depend on his. Be willing to let him lead you as to where you shall go, what you shall say, and to whom. Trust in all that he asks you to do, and do not judge as good or bad or right or wrong for yourself. Do only as he asks, leaving one place and going to another as he leads you to go. And this is what we've been looking at this week in our lessons, where we've been replacing the verbiage from what is sin with different words. It says sin is insanity, sin is illusion, and Regina in her tips has been having us replace it with things like my judgment as to right and wrong, good and bad is insanity. My judgment as to right and wrong, good and bad leads only to further illusion. And that's exactly what this is talking about, because if you keep on doing what you're doing, if you believe what you have believed all these years, then you're going to continue to see insanity, because those are the building blocks, what we've been doing all these years. And that's why you have to give up your will, your judgment of what is right and wrong, your judgment of what is reasonable, and surrender that to Holy Spirit, to someone who knows that you're not these separate little pieces of clay, right? Just to right reason, to the knowledge that we are in fact one, that all of that is illusion, you know, because we want to go, oh, you know, feeding hungry children is good, and robbing people is bad, and that doesn't seem like that insane a proposal, right? Except that those proposals are built on this assumption that this is real. So as you take in these sights and sounds, and then try and make reason of your world, you're building these concepts that, although they seem rational on the surface, like the proposals I just made, right? In truth, they're just another way of buying this idea that the world that we live in is real. They're another way of reinforcing the illusion that there are good people and there are bad people. There are good deeds and there are bad deeds, because the truth of it is none of that is true. It's one mind. How can there be good people and bad people? It's one people. It's right. It's one thing. It's one flow of life. And so even though these concepts seem lofty and seem like what we ought to be believing, the truth is there's only one life. So what we're asked to do is to step back, let Holy Spirit lead the way, so that we can begin to see the truth of letting everything be exactly as it is, or loving what is.
So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so hard to realize that you started this out exactly right. You just get on the wrong side of the premise, and, you know, you can think, oh, you know, I'm just going to be forgiving and loving and that sort of thing. But if you're on the wrong side of the premise, you're just on the wrong side of the premise.
Yeah.
And
then you're going, oh, that poor dickhead. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, I forgot what room I was in. Yeah, that poor jerk.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And thinking that you're being loving, kind, and forgiving. And
that's a face of innocence we read about in Self-Concepts
face of innocence,
versus
exactly.
Self tonight.
And the reason that in that face of innocence that it gets so messed up is because you still have the concept that you're really separate.
That you're a separate self. That's right. Okay, good night. all right. Okay, so here we are. Okay, NTI Acts chapter 9. This is on page 230, verses 1 through 6. The calling must come to every mind in its time. This is the plan of love. This is the spreading of the light. And by the way, I just love that. I just love that concept of the spreading of the light in the one mind. I mean, it's just really a beautiful way to look at these things. So it's just real sweet to read it here. The calling must come to every mind in its time. This is the plan of love. This is the spreading of light. It is the Holy Spirit's will that all shall come to know him, and so it shall be. Each one will recognize his calling when it comes to him. Until then, you are to love your brother, knowing that the calling will come, and he will be one in purpose with you.
Yes, so Holy Spirit's just kind of answered the question, you know, if I seem to be having a hard time hearing, or I seem to have a hard time hearing what my calling is, until then, Just love your brother. And know that he's one in purpose with you. Sweet.
Sweet.
I mean, how much sweeter can you get? There's no chastising there. There's just saying, you know, until you hear it, just love your brother. Know he's one in purpose with you. It's sweet.
Yeah, I mean, because it's, you know, the alternative is what we seem to experience. It's the pitting of one seeming individual against another seeming individual. I got to get mine before you get yours, all of that, you know, and what did he mean by that comment, you know? So no matter where anyone seems to be, it's always a call. It's always, as the Course says, either an act of love or a call for love. As we know, the call for love is the call for you to extend love, no matter what's going on.
Yeah, not, but I really think that you hit a real chord, or at least for me, you hit a real chord here in seeing it from the purpose of, seeing it from the perspective of, let me see if I can say it.
Yeah, go ahead.
That we really are all one flowing into another. I don't stop, you don't begin. Because you know, here's what I'm doing. In my best case scenario, when I'm driving, you know, oh, I'm going to forgive you for pulling out in front of me. I'd really like to run over you, but I'm not. But you see, it's not from that perspective of, you know, we're just driving down the road here, and whoops, you know, and you know, it gets I don't know, like not staying with my purpose of seeing the oneness. Somehow thinking that forgiveness can be about being outside of my brother and forgiving him for something he's seemingly done.
And the Course talks about like condemning to forgive.
Yeah, and how screwed up that is. That you know, you're way off base.
And it's because you started with the wrong premise.
Exactly, and that's what I was trying to say. Thank you very much. Yes, I've started with the wrong premise. I've started with the premise that, you know, we're separate, we're trying to get back together. No, we're together, but my concepts are making it break down to seem like we're separate.
Right. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Kathy liked that. I'd really love to run up, but I won't. She might. She's got a great big old monster truck. She might run over you. All right. Okay. A period of rest. NTI Acts chapter 9, verses 7 through 9. A period of rest is necessary for everyone who comes to answer the call. During this time, that one does not take in things of the world. He may seem to shelter himself or cut himself off from others, but the purpose of this separation is joining, for your brother is preparing to see differently by realizing that he does not see. And that's just, I mean, that's just critical. I mean, again, that's where you step back and go, I realize I've been coming at this all wrong.
I think that's part of our, or at least that's part of my realization tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, and so so it's a time of undoing. It's what we talk about in terms of purification. So I've been doing this all wrong, and I'm willing to, you know, take my hands off the wheel, right, and be taught a new way.
Sweet.
This is a period of learning that all must go through. It is a period of looking at the thoughts that are in the mind and realizing they are thoughts in mind only. Thoughts in mind only. That which is thought in mind apart from God is thought without the power of eternity. And so, that which is thought apart from God may freely be let go when you have decided you want the thought no more. You know, of course, this is talking about our freedom to make or to create in whatever way we want to do that, but it doesn't make it real. You know, if you want to have an experience of being something separate from what you're experiencing, you get this world. This is what you get. But it doesn't make it real.
Right. Yeah. Live in the plastic if you want to.
Yeah. All brothers work together. Well, and the other point it makes here is the one the Course makes about, it is this that I have done, and it was this, and it is this that I would undo, right? You've made this, right? So you also have the power to unmake it, to undo it.
Right, simply by your choice.
Simply by choosing not to believe the thoughts that were made to reinforce the belief in separation, right?
Exactly.
But by letting go and saying, okay, I'm ready. Enough fun. I'm ready to be shown, to be helped to see this differently, to see this from the true perspective, the perspective of one.
Right. Or the perspective of the miracle. Which
of the Holy Spirit.
Which is that call to see it a different way and gives that crack where that is even possible.
Right. And the different way. I mean, again, we're in column A or column B, right? The different way is we're all one or we're separate. Even
right.
if we're trying to become one, we're still separate. I mean, that's column B, right?
That's right. You're still in column B if you think you're separate trying to become one.
Right. Exactly. Okay. This is page 231, verses 10 through 19. Hey, Dove. Dove's here.
Hey, Dove.
Okay. All brothers work together in the Holy Spirit's one plan for healing. As the Holy Spirit does not see brothers, but only one. This is the one song that is under my direction. This is the song of heaven as it is played on earth. It is the song of forgiveness in which those who seem to be separate come to be joined. This is the song in which you sing and your brother sings. Though you may not be able to hear the song as the Holy Spirit does, trust it as it is played. Answer to your call and trust that your brother will answer his. Verses 20 through 22. And again, that's another really, really sweet analogy, the one note. And I was thinking about that when you're talking about people pulling out in front of you and whatever, you know. You know, it's like, okay, you can't drive, but I'm not going to run over you. But, you know, as opposed to, like you said, the other option, going, oh, see what tune's being played here now, right? And that's on a, you know, on a kind of on a micro scale. But yeah, I mean, that's just the viewing it from loving all. And you love all because it is what it is, right? Because it's the flow of life. It's not... If he pulls out there, I don't get to, right?
Yeah.
Or I have to stop. If he does this, then, and you know, just in the very idea of if he does this, then I do is the concept of separation.
Yeah, and it's so remarkable to come at it from the enlightened side. Which is that wholeness side, and see, you know, oh, this maybe this doesn't seem consistent with that, as opposed to I'm gonna run over you if you pull out in front of me.
Yeah, because you deserve it, you dirty.
Yeah. Oh, look, he pulled out. Well, look at that.
One thing that you must know and always remember: there is no past. The Holy Spirit works to heal the Son of God now. Anything that seems to be of the past is nothing in His eyes. It has no meaning and no purpose whatsoever. Everything that has meaning and purpose to the Holy Spirit is now. And you can see that. I mean, if you're not attempting to cobble together stories about yourself and everybody around you, how could the past be relevant? I mean, the past and this concept of time are intimately, the past and this concept of self are intimately related, or the concept of time and the concept of self are intimately related. I mean, because if you're not attempting, again, to build an ego for yourself and one for your brothers, then the past is irrelevant. Oh, you know, she always does that.
Oh, don't give her money. You'll never get it back. Or well, tell her to be 15 minutes early because she's always late.
Well, that's what I was telling you about what's going on in my office, is this people can't communicate because, you know, she always says that. She always acts like that. Oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
There's never any true listening.
Yeah.
There's no speaking from sincerity. It's like, oh, woe is me. I guess I'll deal with this again.
Yes, there's certainly no opportunity for joining in the past.
No.
And if you're relating to people from what you think you know of them from the past, then there's no opportunity for present joining.
Yeah.
It's just not there.
Yeah.
Hi, Ken. In here is Regina. Okay.
It's 23 through 31.
Thank you. We're at NTI page 231, Acts chapter 9, verses 23 through 31. It has been said that the Lord works in mysterious ways. This is because the way of the Holy Spirit is not seen or known by the ego. If you look upon His plan with the eyes of division, you will not understand. But if you welcome the thought that there is no division, you will see that His plan works perfectly.
That's what you've been saying this whole time.
Yeah, it's funny too, because the ego goes, oh my God, it's magic. No, it's not magic. Right? Because ego just can't get there, right? Because ego is this belief in division.
Yeah.
Right? So when the ego says, God works in mysterious ways, it's like, no, that's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, or even the miracle is that whole thing of, no, this is just the way it is. You're just now starting to see it in right perception.
Right, right. Exactly. all things work together for God. For God is all that is. And all things seen through the eyes of the Holy Spirit are for Him and of Him. Verses 32 through 35. The ways of the Holy Spirit are miraculous. They seem indiscriminate, and yet they work perfectly for healing. Hold on to your faith and trust in His way. Through trust, you shall know great joy and reward. Kathy says, trials are but lessons presented once again, so where we failed to heal before, it is offered up again.
Yeah, I'm ready to be about it.
this paragraph we just read is making that same point. Because ego only sees through eyes of division, it cannot see how all things work together for God. It's beyond its ability to conceive, because it can't conceive of a one. Ego will never understand of one, because ego is division. So this is where we're asked to, again, just trust that everything is working, so that you can answer your call to return home to God, to once again connect with your reality as one life, one love. But the idea is, it seems like the Holy Spirit's ways are miraculous and indiscriminate. I can't make heads or tails of this thing, right? I mean, that's what the ego would say, because the ego only thinks in terms of division. And that's why it takes trust beyond the reason of the thinking mind. I don't know how this is going to work, but I trust it, because I trust God, because I trust Holy Spirit, because I trust one life, one love.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, and there's been so many times that, I used to do it with the tapes from the Endeavor Academy all the time. You'd listen to them, and you just couldn't hear them. You couldn't, I don't know what that means. And you'd listen to it again, you'd listen to it again. And then one day, all of a sudden, you could hear it. And you're on the other side of it. You go, of course, oh, of course, oh, of course, oh, of course. But to hear it from the ego perspective, it just won't fall into place.
Yeah.
Okay. NTI Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. The way of the Holy Spirit is the way of resurrection or awakening. For those who are sleeping are awakened by his touch. All who sleep, sleep in innocence. Their dreams are of no importance. And when they hear his call and awaken, the dreams are no more.
How gentle, how sweet, how beautiful.
Yeah,
all who sleep, sleep in innocence. There's no condemnation mm-hmm. at all. It's just you're sleeping and you know, when you wake, you wake. Your dreams aren't important.
Sweet.
Yeah.
This is the plan of the Holy Spirit. This is a plan in action in the world now. All that is happening is a part of his plan, because all that is happening can be used by his plan to awaken the sleeping Son of God.
Group text from Jack and Susan. Should I read it or ignore it?
Ignore it. I'll tell you later, right? Okay, this is the plan of the Holy Spirit. This is a plan in action in the world now. All that is happening is a part of his plan, because all that is happening can be used by his plan to awaken the sleeping Son of God.
Yeah, no matter what's thrown out there, the Holy Spirit can use it for your spiritual unfoldment.
What happens in dreams does not matter. See it only as the plan of love, as its only purpose and usefulness is that you may awaken from dreams of fear.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
Okay, which takes us to NTI Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. We're on page 232 of Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. The guidance of the Holy Spirit will come upon you when you do not expect it, if you are willing to receive it.
Oh, that's good news.
Consistent willingness is helpful, since you do not know when or how your guidance will come. You gotta.
That's what you've been preaching for a long time. You gotta be. Can't make those exceptions. Can't run them off the road and then say.
Now, Holy Spirit, tell me which way to turn.
Oh, is that my brother?
Your willingness is not an offering that must be made to God to place you in his favor. For you are in his favor through your birth and through your creation. But the offering you make of your willingness prepares you to hear the message that is already yours. Which is really what you were saying about those tapes from Endeavor Academy before. You hear it because you allow yourself to hear it. That's what the willingness is.
Yeah, or even reading the Course. Sometimes you read the Course and you go, what? What?
Yeah.
I don't get this. And throw the book and throw it across the room.
And then 6 years later, you come back and it's just as clear as it can be.
Wonder what the problem was.
Yeah. 6 weeks or stays.
Yeah. 6 minutes, maybe.
Maybe. The offering you make of your willingness prepares you to hear the message that is already yours. For if you are not wholly willing to hear it, it cannot reach your ears by your own choice.
Yeah.
Practice your willingness in every way you know to practice it. When you are wholly willing to hear what God has to say, his calling will come to you.
Oh, there's a trick.
And it's funny because, you know, it's all about really just surrendering. Surrendering what it is I think I want, what it is I think I need, what it is I think I know, right?
Damn it, you keep making it hard again.
Well, it says practice your willingness in every way that you know how, and that's it. That's so when I have an opinion, I don't voice it. When somebody cuts me off, I don't I don't run them over, so they'll know that they were wrong, right? It's resisting. Tess Hughes talks about putting the ego on a little diet, And something I was doing the other day, I was telling Regina about it. I said, I realized it was like, you know, it's feeding the ego. It's like throwing the chum out to the sharks, right? For the ego, right?
Right.
I mean, so you find those ways to be willing to let go of this idea of yourself as this separate person that has to be protected and coddled and all of that stuff, because
you're
it's not true.
You're talking about baiting me, aren't you?
Something like that. Yeah.
Right. No, I hear what you're saying.
So
yes.
You just find ways to practice your willingness, and then this guidance you just make way for it. You just make way that you can hear it in the same way that you come back to the course later and you go, oh my gosh, that's clear now. The same way that you come back to the tapes of Master Teacher and go, oh, I get what he's saying now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. As your willingness increases, your resistance falls apart and you're able to.
And you're able to hear.
Hear.
Yeah. So you hear it through the course. You hear it through a teacher. Or you hear it directly.
Right.
As a nudge to, which I got the other day. Why don't you go check and see how much is in your bank account? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll get to that later. Go check and see. And boy, was I glad. but it can come in any of those ways. But the only way it comes is if you clear the way with being willing to hear something different than what you want to hear, frankly. That's the surrender part, right?
That's a good concept.
Only tell me what I want to hear, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, just be good.
Try your best to forgive your brother. You'll be fine.
Let him out.
Yeah, Kathy notes, consistency is her aspiration. Spiritual aspiration. Yeah,
I can see that. I can really see that. Yeah, and that's a. Yeah, we can't go around making these exceptions and expect to be able to hear that gentle voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, well, I know the thing to do would be to open up my heart and know that there's no difference between me and you and that person that's trying to merge and doesn't look out at the rear view mirror and wants in my lane.
But I'm late.
That's right.
Right. The guidance that God sends comes to you with one purpose. The purpose of this guidance is to lead you from the world of illusion back to God, where you belong.
Where there is no traffic.
This is the only purpose of any guidance you seem to receive. Guidance from God can have no other purpose. You're one, you're one, you're one, you're one. I mean, that's really what's being said all the time. You're one, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You're at home with God where you never left.
That's right. At home with God where you never left. Beautiful. Within the world of illusion, you have made yourself into what you believe you are. This self is wholly illusion. It is not what you are, and yet it is what you believe yourself to be.
Yeah, because it's what we want ourselves to be. Because we picked it out. I'll take this trait, and I'll pass on that one.
I think I dug out of the wrong bowl a few times. Since God granted you freedom in the creation of yourself, you are free to believe that you are what you are not. But once you have recognized the desire to be again that which you are, you must be led from who you think you are to your truth. And that's the calling that that's being talked about here, and that's the calling that we've all heard. That's why we're all on this path. This guidance will come to you as what is always helpful for you based on where you stand. But this guidance may not always be what you expect it to be. Got a good chuckle from Connie. For if God was to fulfill your expectations, which are based on who you think you are, He would be teaching you that you are what you are not. This is not a lesson that God will teach. Let's see. I want a limousine. I want to be skinny. Skinny's a good one. I want maids, right? I want children who call me daily and go, "Oh, Mama, I love you and I miss you."
Oh, screw all that. I want to be young.
But really, it's that whole idea that, you know, ego sees through eyes of division. So what's ego going to ask for? Ego's going to ask for all this stuff, right, to make a better self. And the guidance of God, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is going to lead you away from the illusion that there is a self to be made.
Be made better.
Or a self to be made better, and lead you back to the truth that's just really a waste of time.
Really,
because that's
an
illusion. It's not important at all. Yeah. You wanted this experience, you're having this experience, quit working on yourself.
A better self isn't going to get you there.
That's right. He, meaning God, He will reach out to you through His Holy Spirit, which is His appointed messenger sent to you within your dreams.
Thank God.
This messenger, knowing who you think you are, will meet you there in your dreams and talk to you as if you are the one you think you are. But this one comes to you for only one purpose and with only one goal. His purpose is to awaken you by leading you from where you think you are to the remembrance of what you must be. This is a holy purpose, and He comes to you in gratitude, grateful to meet you in your dreams, and grateful to bring you home. That's the story of the prodigal. It was a P word. The prodigal son, right? Oh my gosh, they're getting it. Last, they're waking up. For there's nothing the Holy Spirit is not grateful for. And again, there's that theme of just absolute celebration at the experience. You know, I'm thrilled you had the experience. I'm thrilled you're coming home, right? Which is why this loving all method is... you know, it's emulating God. It's emulating the Holy Spirit. There's nothing the Holy Spirit's not grateful for. Nothing.
Right. Even back here in, where was it? In the last chapter, chapter 9, where he says, dreams are no of importance. And when they hear his call and awaken, the dreams are no more. So, I mean, he's just saying, okay, they're not important.
Did you have fun? Oh, yay. Come on back.
Right? Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. There is nothing the Holy Spirit is not grateful for. He is grateful for all things because He sees truly. We're in the middle of page 233 in the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament.
24.
NTI Acts chapter 10 verses 24 through 26. Each brothers is one with you. Each of your brothers has the voice of the Holy Spirit to lead him, just as you have the voice to lead you. Listen to this voice. It is within you. And let your brother listen to the voice that is within him. There are no leaders and there are no followers. There's only one voice leading each one from who he thinks he is to the truth of all that is true.
Yeah, there's only one voice leading one person, or one entity, or one something.
Right. Yeah, so if you're worrying about that your brother's not getting it, right? I mean, again, that's the ego trying to be holy. It's seeing through the eyes of division, trying to see holiness or one through the eyes of division. Oh, you know, my brother, he's really not getting it. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, verses 27 through 29. Each of your brothers is one with you. And so, each of your brothers has one purpose, and that is the purpose given him within the mind. There seems to be two purposes, when in truth, there's only one. There was a purpose, an ancient one, that only lasted an instant. In the instant, this purpose was made. Another was placed beside it as its correction. And in the instant the correction was accepted, correction became the only purpose. Any other purpose that seems to be is a residual of a purpose that was for an instant and then passed. Right? So we're talking about, you know, what the Course calls the tiny man idea. And the way I like to tell it is, you know, so we're all one, right? So I, we, I don't know how you want to term it, isness is sitting around isn't, just sitting around isn't. And then I don't know how this happens, but this is the story that's told by NTI and by A Course in Miracles. And then we went, well, this is boring, or something to that effect. I would like to experience something other than this isness, right? Than the same thing that I've been experiencing. I would like to have an experience. This is sometimes referred to as, you know, the first split or consciousness, right? That's right. Because you have to have something to be experienced and something to experience with.
Or the Big Bang.
And of course, this is all, you know, I don't remember any of this, right? So this is all theory, except this is what NTI tells me. This is what the Course tells me. And so it was kind of a lark. Wonder what it would be like if it wasn't exactly like this all the time. And so this world, the whole idea, this whole premise we were talking about a while ago of division is the answer to that question. Wonder what it would be like if things were different than they actually are.
And so the question is, wonder what it'd be like if things weren't perfect as they are. Because anything different than what was is less than perfection.
Right, and so that's the experience that we're having.
Yes.
And this is saying that as soon as we had the thought, and it's really, really sweet how the Course talks about it. We remembered not to laugh for just a second. We didn't go, oh, that's absurd.
Yeah. Are you freaking kidding me?
Who would want that?
Who would want less than perfection?
Right.
You big dummy. Give that thought up real quick. Nope, we had to look at it for a minute, and when we looked at it for a minute, then we stretched it out into the millennium of time.
Right. And I think there's also an undertone here of the fact that it talks about correction then once the correction was given. So we have the thought, let's see things different than they are, and then immediately it's like, oh, come on, right, that's impossible. You can have that for a moment, but that's impossible. And so in that moment, the call was given to all the, you know, like a shattering, right, occurred at that time. And the call was immediately given, give up that silly, like you said, give up that silly idea and just come on back here and be isness again, right? And experience the truth of what you are, which is this isness again. And so...
which is the perfection of what you are.
Right. And so it says, and in the instant the correction was accepted, correction became the only purpose. So that's the only purpose of this of this experience.
Seeming existence.
That's right. And it's to the extent that there's seems to be another purpose. That's just what was left over from that instant of insanity, that instant of the tiny man idea, that instant of the belief that we could experience division as opposed to oneness or wholeness. And so this is just all residual. So what we're being asked to do then is turn to our true purpose, which is remembering the one true self, remembering who it is that we actually are, remembering that we are this undivided isness.
Yeah, and sometimes I, you know, when I find myself getting caught up in the world, I go, wait a minute.
Something's fishy here.
Something fishy going on here. You know, no, this is not about profits. No, this is not about whatever, you know, somebody slighting you or somebody, you know, wait a minute.
Yeah. There's got to be another way of seeing this.
Yeah, that all that is kind of superficial. And
if that's all it's about, you can have it anyway.
Yeah.
I made that decision a long time ago. You can have it. Because yeah. there's no fulfillment in that. There's no...
There's the shallowness that it is what you feel.
Yeah.
The hollowness of what it is.
The hollowness of the illusion.
Yeah.
Because you know it's illusion somewhere within you. Remember that I have told you that there is no past. The past does not exist now. It is only a memory of something that was. But what was isn't now. The Holy Spirit is the purpose of now. The purpose of now is the joining of that which seemed to be made separate by the purpose that was, but isn't anymore.
I think that's what we just said.
This is important for you to accept, so let's look at this so you may see. The purpose that was the purpose that you could be separate from God in order to be different. This is the purpose I explained to you before. This is the purpose that led you to believe that you had stolen yourself from God.
Thinking anything else but being who you are within the arms of God had any meaning whatsoever.
And I think that this is a pretty good place to stop. We may back up a paragraph or two when we start again next week. Let's see. So, Cheryl, we read from Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 25. Through Acts chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, something like that. Close enough. I mean, that's where we were, but we only read about half of 27 through 29. So, okay, guys, we love you.
Thanks for letting us share. Thanks for letting us figure this out.
Out loud.
Out loud, exactly. Right.
Yeah, we love you. We'll see you next time.
Good night.
Bye.